The appellant is Wine Country RV Resort LLC. Phone number 1-3594-301-1000-004. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of the board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove the valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Mr. Smith, please raise your hand. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
So affirm.
Yes.
Following this hearing, the board will need to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make your final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is to receive all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
This is a commercial hearing. We allow an hour for these for the first 20 minutes. We'd like to hear from you, Mr. Smith. Then we'll hear from the assessor, and we may have some questions back and forth along the way. Then we will adjourn, and you'll receive our decision letter within 4 weeks. So with that, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you. I guess, yeah, the obvious reason we're going through this appeal process is because we believe that the value that the assessor's office has given to Wine Country is above what we believe to be the true market value for the real property. And then from discussions and then both looking at the report that was prepared by the assessor's office, it appears that almost solely the value is being derived from the sales price that triggered the reassessment. And we're holding this opinion because there are no other RV resort sales comps in the report. There's also no financial or capitalization rate analysis. There was financial, the financials were given to the assessor's office in March earlier of this year in our attempts to work directly with them in the reevaluation of the tax value that was derived. And I understand that properties get reassessed after a sale. It's common for a property that hasn't sold for a long time, 20 years, to double in tax after a sale. We've owned other properties where that has happened and we have not appealed tax values. I believe this property is different. A different component to this property is the previous owner was operating two different LLCs for the property. One LLC was for the actual RV park business, the operation of the RV resort, and the other was for a wine club. And it is our opinion that the wine club business is not attached to or part of the real property. The sales price that was paid to the previous owner included both of the LLCs. Thus inflated the sales price. Well, it didn't inflate the sales price, but it included both LLCs, and there's a component, in our opinion, that was for the real property and the RV resort business. And then there was a separate value derived for the other LLC. And so I believe that gives it a unique situation where we believe there should be an extensive look at comparable sales of other RV parks and taking a look at an income approach valuation. And we believe that's necessary in coming to opinion on the true full market value for this property.
May I interrupt for a moment here? You said in your petition about this purchase of a separate business, but then you gave us no information that tells us how much was for each LLC as you described it. So, you know, this hearing is based on evidence that you provide us, and your evidence has to rise to a level of clear, cogent, and convincing to overrule the assessor's presumption of correctness. So you didn't give us anything, right?
You are correct. I did not provide you, I guess, with that information. And that is, yeah, that is something that I could still do that I haven't done. I'm not sure if you're aware, but I did try to submit documents that were not within the time frame that were rejected.
Understand.
But if
I understand correctly, those documents you attempted to supply were comparable sales, is that correct?
There was financial documents that were a part of that that showed what the 12 months prior to the purchase, the financials that were used to value the property at the time of purchase were a part of that package.
Okay, what would have been of more value, I think, in this instance would have been your purchase and sale agreement should have laid out the value that you assigned to each of those LLCs, hopefully.
The purchase and sales agreement did not stipulate the different values for those. The seller was adamant about just combining them. I think it was more tax advantageous for him to do it that way. Not 100% sure. But the purchase and sale agreement did not do that, but the financial documents, he has two different LLCs and there's essentially two different net operating incomes for each one.
Okay. Well, as you know, we did not receive that because it wasn't submitted on a timely basis. So we're kind of left with what we have at hand, and that's the purchase price, even though you claim it's two functions. Is there a reason you couldn't have submitted that data earlier to meet the required deadline?
I don't have a good reason for you. Anything would just be an excuse on my behalf.
Okay. Okay. How much value did you assign to each of those businesses?
The value that I came up with the RV park business was, let's see here, was 4.272580, so a little under 4.3 million.
4.272580.
That's right on the petition, George.
Is it?
But then that means that the wine club was worth $1.2 million.
Yes, sir.
Should I do the math?
Yes.
Good. That seems a lot for a wine club. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. I mean, was there inventory associated with that wine club or?
Yes, there was inventory.
Okay, but we don't have that as evidence, so.
What I can take you through, if I may, would be sales comps of other RV resorts in the same geographical area, as well as capitalization analysis of other RV resorts that have been sold in the geographical area.
The problem is, yeah, without the data, and again, not knowing what you're showing us, but sales data is useful. Now, how do you have it? Do you have it? You know, RV parks have different sections, right? One for each RV. So to make the sales comparable, you have to, you know, allocate it based on square footage or based on you know, individual lot size or however you were doing it. But we don't have that. So. And I don't know if that was in your data or not.
I don't do an analysis based on lot size. What I can tell you is I'm very well versed in how RV resorts and RV parks trade at an investor level. And the large component to how these properties are valued is based on capitalization rates.
Okay, and what capitalization rate are you using?
The value that, so at the $4,272,580 based off of the trailing 12 months previous to the purchase price, that would apply a 6.1 capitalization rate. In my opinion, that's conservative on my end. The industry average and in the data that I have and that I tried to submit, the average is a 7.5% capitalization rate. At the time of purchase, purchase, interest rates, commercial interest rates were a little less than 5.5%. So that's not even a full point spread between where interest rates were and the capitalization rate.
Yeah, recognize that there's an inverse relationship between the capitalization rate and the value, right? So the higher the capitalization rate, the lower the valuation.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. 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 Did you have anything else at the moment, or we can check from the assessor and then we'll circle back if that's okay?
I'm sorry. Please say that one more time.
Oh, did you have anything else at the moment, or can we move to the assessor? Then we'll circle back to you.
Whenever it's appropriate, I would like to take you through my sales comparables and then also capitalization rate information. If that's at a later time, that's fine.
Why don't you let him do his sales comparables? I mean, that's just a suggestion, but that's something that
I want to speak to also.
So,
yeah. Okay. Then go ahead and proceed with your sales comps.
Okay. My first sales comparable is for Red Mountain RV Park. This is an RV park located in West Richland. The year built was in 2003, which I believe Wine Country was built either in 2003 or right around the same time. This comparable has 100 sites. Wine Country has 128 or so, so close in size. The sales price for this RV park, it sold in 2019. It sold for a sales price of $1,763,000 and some change. That's roughly a little over $17,000 per site. You can't see them, but there's pictures of the subject property. This property has a clubhouse, has a laundry facility, has a pool. I would say that this property is a bit inferior to Wine Country, just in the amount of sites per acre, which would lean to it having a lower sales price per pad. But it is a very good comparable in that built around the same time, has a lot of the same amenities, and then also is close in geographical region.
Would you repeat that sales price again? It's a million what?
It was 1.76.
Okay. All right. Did you have another one?
Yes, I have two others, if I may. Well, I really have one other, because the third one is the Beach RV Resort, which is listed. But so if I can continue, the other one is the Coyote Run RV Park, which is located in Connell. It was built in 2008. It had a sales price of $1.3 million. The sales price per site is essentially $18,000 per site. That sold in 2019 I believe this is a 78 space RV resort or somewhere right around that number. This is an RV resort in very good condition, very good looking RV resort. I would say it's a better looking RV resort than Wine Country, and then also clearly the West Richland Park.
But it's located much further away, right? So to some extent, it serves a different market than what yours serves, so.
Yes, yeah. Very true. The nature with RV resorts is there's usually only a handful in a geographical area. Tri-Cities has a large handful, but there's not a ton of them statewide, if you will.
Okay.
So sales are a little harder to come by than, you know, another asset type.
Right. Understand.
Okay. And then the next one that I'd like to point out is Beach RV Resort, which is in Benton City. This was a two-phase RV resort. It had one phase that is located closest to the river that was built in the 1960s. The second phase, which is the much larger part and much nicer part of the park, was built in the early 2000s. It had a sales price of $2.3 million, that equates to a sales price of $23,000 per site. It's a 100 space park, and that sold in 2021.
How many spaces did you say was in that RV park?
100. It has 100 RV sites, and then it has a single family home.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, single family home. Now, does the other?
That's the manager's house.
Oh, okay. I see.
Just like the subject has a manager's house.
Okay. All right.
Yes. And then, if now's the right time, I'd like to take you through some other sales comps and their capitalization rates to give you a feel for where these things have traded at in relation to cap rates.
Okay.
Okay, I'll try and be quick here too. So the Sunny Springs Resort, which is in Ephrata, sold in 2020. At a sales price of $3.1 million, that was at a capitalization rate of 9.45. I'm going to skip an Oregon comp here because I don't think it's applicable. The Valhalla Court RV Resort or RV Park in West Richland sold in March of 2021 at a capitalization rate of 7.04. Columbia Sun RV Resort in Kennewick sold in April of 2021.
Back up a second here. You're going a little fast for me. The Valhalla Resort sold in 2021 for how much?
The sales price was a little over $800,000, and the capitalization rate was essentially a 7%, 7.04%.
Okay.
The Columbia Sun RV Resort, which is located in Kennewick, it sold in April of 2021. That sold for $10 million. The capitalization rate was 7.36. I'll also note that RV resort was constructed in 2013. It's arguably one of the nicest RV resorts in the state.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. I mean, these dates would also correspond to actual sales, right? I mean, do you have the same data? How many, you know, what's a dollar value per lot or per space?
Um, I do not have that for these ones. I would have to, the reason I don't have that is I didn't look up how many sites were at each one.
Okay. All right.
I can give you Columbia Sun off the top of my head because I am a member of that RV resort also. So that one I could give you.
Well, okay. So here we're just talking about cap rates then. Okay. So you've given us three. Did you have any more than the three?
Yeah, I've got like six more.
Okay. And so looking at this.
I can cut to the cities though if you want.
Well, I'm trying to understand, you know, you said you use it a 6.1% cap rate and coming to your 4.272580. But based on these other sales that you're telling me, that cap rate seems low.
Correct. And I made an adjustment there because a lot of these sales are in 2020 and 2021. And this sale was in the end of 2022. So call it roughly in 2023, cap rates continued to go down from this level. So I made an adjustment there.
Why would they come down? The interest rates certainly hadn't come down at that point.
Some of these were during the COVID period. So,
okay.
You know, but, firsthand during Columbia Sun, our purchase of that was, you know, the COVID was still a factor during that period of time. So cap rates were, there was a COVID factor, if you will.
Okay, but then you haven't shown us, you haven't given us any detail to demonstrate that the 6.1% cap rate you used is in fact correct. So, I mean, you're giving us some historical data, and that's fine, and I can see that, but, you know, based on what this is, the cap rate should be in excess of 7%, and that would increase your valuation. Excuse me, lower your valuation, excuse me, your estimate.
Yeah, higher cap rate would do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I made, you know, I would call myself an industry professional, and I made an industry professional judgment off of where this, there's several things. So, cap rate is a very, very good analysis tool for a well-run, stabilized, income-producing right. property.
Correct. We understand that. Yes.
Yeah.
And we understand that for an investor, that's one of the primary tools that are used. So.
Yeah, to determine value. Correct.
Yeah. Are you running this resort as an investment or as a business?
I kind of view those as the same. I guess I don't understand your question.
Well, some people, you know, buy things like this and hire a manager to, you know, to run it, and then they maybe buy several others, so they have a portfolio of these things, you know, run by individual managers, and then they run, you know, operate them as an investment more than, you know, as a business, with the intent of selling that at some point in the future for higher value.
Okay. I would say I would be a mix of those two. I am not on site on a daily basis running this. We have on-site managers that do that, and we own other properties.
Okay, just like I described. So you're maybe, is it your intent then to sell this at some point in the future at a higher valuation?
Well, I guess that would be the long-term intent, but no, we've never sold one.
Okay. All right.
So I think that's, I think that's anybody's intent. So I guess that's the grand intent, but no, I have no.
Okay, you're not flipping them on a regular basis. This would be a long-term investment holding then?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, you said you had others, but I think this will be sufficient for now. Why don't we hear from the assessor and see where he comes in on this?
Okay. All righty, to go through the background on the subject property. The subject property has the draw to that location is very much, you know, involved with the tourist opportunities there in Prosser.
Right.
It's very different than some of the comparables that he has mentioned. A lot of the comparables that he's mentioned, you know, I'll go over briefly. Red Mountain RV Park. Not to put too fine a point on it, it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, the traffic count there is, I do have the traffic count. Well, what is it? Well, I do have the traffic count on the subject. I-82 right there at the interchange has 17,395 cars, traffic, vehicles. And also it has on the interchange, coming on and off the interchange, depending on where you come on and off, you know, between 2,500 right. and 3,500 cars a day. That means of the 17,000 cars that are driving by, we do have a considerable number that are actually pulling off and going into Prosser for whatever services or tourist activities that are there. It's a very specific, very specific market, very much included, which, you know, he mentioned that there was a wine club there. I'm really not seeing that a wine club has $1 million worth of value. Certainly, I'm not a wine connoisseur or anything. I guess maybe if it involved subscriptions, maybe, I don't know, but, you know, I think reasonableness and prudence says that we would have had to been given those details of what that income was. Generally, when they do an allocation type appraisal, they will analyze all the income streams, not just a singular portion. Of the information that he gave us, he did give us that capitalization information, which, you know, I did have that. I don't know exactly when that was submitted, but and I did want to ask, what was the source on that? It, to me, it looks like it was an appraisal. Was an appraisal done of the subject at the time of sale?
No, this is for a... this must have been for when we bought Red Mountain. So we own the Red Mountain one in West Richmond also. And that was probably when that was done.
You own Red Mountain?
Yes.
That was an appraisal on Red Mountain? Okay. So the other Coyote Run RV Park, if you're familiar with that property, I unfortunately drive by it all the time. That property, I looked on the Franklin County Assessor's website, and I can call up their website. I actually have it called up. If you would like, I can share the screen. There's no recorded sale of that. And that's the property at 351 East Hawthorne Street, Connell. On the Franklin County Assessor's website, there's no sale. And I can only speak to, you know, the information that I can find. I cannot find a sale on that one. The other one that he gave is the Beach RV Park. So I have the buildings on some of that built in 1940 and some of the other infrastructure built in 1960. And with an RV park, the age of the infrastructure is really important. As I'm sure Mr. Smith will agree, the infrastructure there is very, very old. Another aspect, it is on the river, and the bottom parcel almost completely floods in the spring thaw. Not every year, but in the 5-6 years I've been here,
floods most years then. Yeah.
It floods frequently. It floods frequently. So, another expense item that they're going to have is flood insurance. But since their infrastructure is really just the water and power, there's not much there that floods. I wouldn't say that they get a huge amount of damage, but you know, that's a pretty significant concern to most investors, and that would be involved in the cap rate. You know, whenever you have risk, that increases the cap rate.
Right.
And that's a pretty risky element. They're very old, and the risk of having major repairs needed, I would dare say Beach RV Park, I've inspected it on many occasions. They've appealed their value. I don't know if you remember, George, he has come in and appealed his value before and complained that, hey, this is just not a money-making operation. All the infrastructure is old, and the repairs are, there's just a lot of deferred maintenance on the Beach RV Park. On the properties that he mentioned, Valhalla Court RV Park, that's a very small hole-in-the-wall RV park in the middle of West Richland. I can pull up the location if you'd like me to and share it with you.
No, that's fine.
It's not on the main street. Sun Tides Mobile Home, Mobile Court in Yakima is a manufactured home park. Mill Pond Manor, I'm very familiar with Mill Pond. They sold that, and they're having issues with their large septic system. The replacement cost on that's about $2 to $5 million, and it was sold with that need. So that's pretty hard to compare to a RV park with much newer services, and they're on city sewer, I'm pretty sure.
Well, a couple of quick questions here. A couple of quick questions then. So on Beach RV, Mr. Smith referred to a early 2000 renovation to that park or addition.
Some of the lots may have paving and stuff on there that was in that, but really the buildings, you can look at the buildings on my R26. Those are pictures of the building that was done in the last 2 or 3 years. So you see the home, and I could get the exact date on the home. It's R26. And the restroom building is in really poor shape, is almost in constant state of repair. That's one of the things that the previous owner brought up during the when he appealed the value. Is the restroom
That structure looks like it's, you know, a mid-century construction. So
and it's concrete block.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's concrete block, and so probably 1940s the infrastructure and the RV spaces is very, very old. I was going to bring up two of the comparables that he mentioned, and use to bracket the subject. The on the upper end, the Columbia Sun RV Resort. It is nice. It is new. I wouldn't say it's the nicest in the state. I would dare say that the ones on the Columbia River and the ones on the ocean are the nicest. They certainly fetch a much higher rate than the subject. And then Valhalla RV Park. It is unfortunate, but because of the shortage in rental space in both Prosser and in Tri-Cities, because there's not places to rent, a lot of temporary workers at Hanford and other places that are builders. The builders come in to those parks and rent them spaces, which does make them, it does make them get a little bit better rent because we're so short on apartment stock here in the Tri-Cities that business flows over into the manufactured home parks and the RV parks.
Right.
But, you know, that one also sold for $10 million, which is $68,966 a space, which I think I can kind of bracket the subject. The one on the one that's mentioned here, Tri-Cities RV Park in Kennewick, it's on 7322 West Bonney Avenue. Now to bring up what the market was doing, because it sold in 2019 for $2.67 million. And then it sold in 2020 for $5.9 million. It has, and there are other things in there, but, you know, it has 140 RV spaces. And it sold in 2020 for $42,000 a space.
Well, here's, I think we can use
those as indicators,
Mark.
And yes, those are older sales. But that really is pretty close to what the subject is sold for.
Yeah, here's my sense, Mark. I don't think traffic count is a major indicator of the value of these things. These things are going to be pretty destination specific, right? You're going to go there because you want to go there, or you need to go there for some of the reasons you decided. And again, if you can't find space at one place, you'll go, just be like, yeah, moving further out from that.
Sure.
But so, okay. I think the Connell one is a bit far away. I don't see that in our market.
But, yeah.
Okay. So you're basically telling me that other comparable sales that you found bracket the valuation you have on the subject property. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they would bracket. And and you know, to mention the second one that I mentioned, it's very old, it's very dilapidated. It's the one when you're driving between the Kennewick exits. When you drive between the Kennewick exits, you can see it there on the south side of the road before you get to Columbia Center Boulevard. That's where it's located. Okay. It's very dilapidated. I've inspected it because there have been so many sales on it. And it really surprised me for when it sold for $5.9 million. But in the end, you know, we have seen the prices really go up in the RV parks.
Okay, so for these sales that you described, what is the cost per lot? What are they selling per lot?
Oh, per space?
Yeah, space.
The nicer one, the one that he mentioned was nicer on Cottonwood Street. That's sold for $68,966 a space. And the one on Bonney Avenue that's very old and dilapidated, it has 140 RV spaces. It sold for $42,357 a space.
And what's the valuation of the subject property per space?
I think it's in the 40,000 range also, but let me get that exact number for you here.
It's a little over like 38,000.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
He said a little over 38,000.
Okay.
At the proposed tax that the assessor has come up with.
Well, I was asking for his valuation, based on his valuation.
Yeah.
Mark, can you shoot me an email with those three values, the two you decided and the one you're about to tell me?
Sure. Yeah, I can do that.
With the sale specifics and the lot size, or the number of lots and the price per lot or space, or however you want to call it.
Yeah, I can do that. And I'll send it to everyone so that everyone can have it. But
yeah, that's fine. So yeah, you were just saying yours came in the 38, around 38,000 a space. And that seems to be below the even the lowest one. So I mean, there's a question of reasonableness there. So
not below the lowest. It's below the comps that Mark just gave you.
Yes. Yes.
So if I can jump in here, there's a handful of different ways to value RV parks, and right now we're talking about price per space. And I would argue, and I think most investors and people who purchase these parks and actually determine what these things sell for would argue, is that a cap rate is a much better indicator of the value of these, because when you're talking price per space, there's many different variables that play into that. So a park like Columbia Sun that has, you know, concrete pads and lots of grass and space in between each RV site and lots of amenities is going to sell for a much, much higher price per space than an RV park that has RVs right next to each other and maybe a 3-foot gravel barrier between the RV sites. So price per space is very, very easy to skew. Whereas cap rate and what the RV resort business is actually making, and that applying to the purchase price, is a much clearer indicator of valuing the asset than price per space. Price per space can value wildly. You can buy an RV park. Okay.
Yeah, understand that, but we're trying to look at this thing and. I mean, you've given us a number, and we sort of understand how you got to your number based on a cap rate, but then you haven't given us anything that demonstrated that the market cap rate, that your 6.1%, was the actual cap rate for the market at that time, right? Usually when we have other hired guns, if I may say, come in, they give us this elaborate presentations showing cap rates for Marshall and Swift or other such things, and they try to demonstrate that the cap rate should be X, Y, or Z, and we're not hearing that from you. We don't know how you got to your 6.1. We don't know how that 6.1 relates to the overall market at that time. So, I mean, your evidence is weak.
Yeah. Well, what I would say to that is the chart that I have of 10 RV resorts selling in the same exact geographic area is putting the capitalization rate at a 7.5% average. I wasn't going to come in here and make the argument of applying a 7.5% cap rate and coming up with a value of $3 million for the RV resort. I don't think that's something that the board would have looked at and said that makes sense.
Mark, what is your data speak to? I mean, you have the Marshall and Swift data. What does it speak to as to the cap rates and
the Marshall and Swift data is is cost. So you know what the other what some other tax reps use is surveys. And so he had one of the things he turned in was PricewaterhouseCoopers investor survey for National Limited Service and Economy Hotels. So that's one of the things he turned in, but you know, this is not a hotel. Then the other thing that moves cap rates, and I know that's not what you asked, but I'll get to that. The things that move cap rates are, risk and age of the properties. I've been to all the ones that are in Central Washington, except for I have not been. Well, the one in Yakima that he said, well, I have 10. And a lot of those, some of those anyways, are manufactured home parks, not RV parks. Well, so
not RV parks.
Manor, I worked there for 13. I didn't work. I worked in Ellensburg for 14 years. Mobile Home Manor is an RV park. It had a lot of deferred maintenance and had this big bill looming over their head. Sun Tides Mobile Home Court. That's a mobile home park. Sunny Springs Resort and Campground. That's in Ephrata. And it's also very old. It's very, very different than the subject. But as far as I know, that these cap rates that he's showing here are from 2020 and 2021. We're dealing with the lien date of 2023. There's really nothing involved with the lien date of 2023. These cap rates are from, it looks like early first quarter 2021 and second and fourth quarter of 2020, right in the middle of COVID, which
right
he's, you know, cap that. Rates did as far as general commercial after what he is showing, cap rates did not go up. They from 2020 and 2021, they were still on the downward trend.
Okay.
And I would argue.
What about going into 20? What about at the end of 23 then? Or end of 22?
At the end of 22, cap rates in general commercial in Tri-Cities, I don't have a lot of information on Prosser, but in Tri-Cities, their rate of decrease had slowed, but they had not. Only in retail and office had those cap rates started to inch up. But all the other segments, multifamily, which is housing, and all those other segments, except for retail and office, they were all going down. Industrial was going down. It wasn't going down very fast, but it was still going down. It wasn't until the first quarter of 2024 that we did see an increase in retail, an actual increase in retail in 2024, and office, but it's very slight. The others have flattened out, but we're not seeing anything on the actual sales derived cap rates in around the, but of course, you know, we didn't have very much going on, but still we did have sales and they were still lower than what we would have expected. Or other words, the price per square foot in most things the price per square foot was still increasing.
Well, yeah, obviously in housing, we know that, you know, that's going up a lot. And this is sort of a form of housing and the housing market. That's one of the highest elements of inflation. So
it is. Okay. It is. It's one of the highest elements of inflation. But like I said, I only have the cap rate information of general commercial.
Understand.
Obviously, understand. You know, there's, you know, there hasn't been more sales data regionally here since what has been given, but that doesn't mean that it hasn't moved. When you look at the generalized trends that, you know, like I said, the only thing that didn't in this time period that we're discussing here on what he has provided, the only thing that was slowing down very significantly was office and retail. All the other segments were still, the cap rates were still decreasing and the price per square foot was still increasing.
Well, one of the things affecting retail, obviously, is online sales like the Amazons of the world, right? Sure. And office space was being impacted from the work from home movement. So,
and it still is. Unfortunately, there are things transpiring in the background that in the next year we're expecting a huge resurgence of demand for office space.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
In Tri-Cities, but that has nothing to do with today. But so
yeah, that's what we're talking about here, right? Okay. Okay. Anything further, Mark?
Just if I could have one closing statement. Generally speaking, when this kind of analysis is done, as is being suggested by Mr. Smith, generally there is income comparables. There are expense comparables included, and there are also sales. Showing, you know, indicating some proof of reasonableness. The RCWs The RCW still indicates that the sales price and of the subject and sales of similar properties is the most significant detail that we are to use, that we in this ad valorem taxation world are to use, because it's the most directly tied to the market. Certainly, if we could have been given those other details that he suggested, maybe something could have been done. But those other details involving those other businesses, you know, I represent the assessor who represents the other taxpayers in the taxing district. And unfortunately, the policy is very firm that we can't just take people's word.
I understand. I know. I know all about it.
All righty. Thank you. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Mr. Smith, any closing comments?
Yeah, I would just say that I'm not asking you to take my word. And looking at Mark's report, he doesn't have a single sales comp in there of another RV resort. He doesn't have any capitalization rate data in there. The one thing he does point to is the sale of the actual property. And what I'm bringing to you guys today is that sale included another LLC business. It wasn't a normal straight across RV resort transaction like the other transactions we've been a part of.
I know you've said that, but you've given us no evidence that that was the case. And this hearing is evidence-based. We have to rely on the evidence that you provide, and we haven't seen it. I mean, that's the short answer.
Okay, so in the lack of that evidence, I would ask you to look at the evidence that was provided, which is the other comparable capitalization rates and the other comparable transactions of RV resorts in the area that I provided.
Okay.
You weren't provided any of those.
Well, he spoke to them.
Well, yeah, that's not evidence.
I tried to provide them like 2 weeks ago. I know it asked for 21 days, but I don't know why we need 21 days to review that stuff.
Okay. Well, that's just what the law states. So, I mean, we have to follow the law. So, all right. Chuck, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Well, I think we understand your position, Mr. Smith. And I think we understand the assessor's position. So at this time, I think I'd like to adjourn the hearing and then we'll deliberate.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mr. Smith, for attending.
Thank you.